Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. And Dave, now that we're in 2022, I know at the tail end of last year, we did a lot of commentary on what you're all expecting for this next year, now in 2022, especially in the resource sector. And there's just one kind of general comment that I want you to elaborate on here. It's whether you're talking to, well, the gold bugs, they're always encouraged for gold heading into the next year. We also have some of the perma bears that are then calling for much, much lower prices. I like to listen to the people more in the middle, ones that don't come out with these extreme projections, either on the high side or on the low side. And quite frankly, these individuals that can one year be bullish, one year be bearish, rather than constantly being in the same camp. It's just that when we're hearing from a lot of these, let's say, generalists, I'm not hearing a ton of optimism for the precious metals sector. It's almost as if everybody's on one side of the boat, and that side of the boat is saying, ooh, maybe gold will get up to 1900, but that could be the high. And quite frankly, gold could continue to drift or at best move sideways throughout this whole year. And when you consider that 2021, as bad as it was for the gold stocks, gold was down, I believe, less than 10%. So it did, for the most part, move sideways to down in a grinding manner. What do you take away from what seems to be a lot of the generalists just not having faith in the gold sector this year?
Yeah, it's incredible, Corey. The gold price went up 18% in 2019, another 24% in 2020, and then it corrected at one point 20% of those gains last year, but it ended up down like 4%. And you think that the gold price was crashing, and everybody was running around all worried about gold crashing even more, when all it did was trade in this sideways trading range for the last 9 months between 1750 and 1850. But if you take a look at the gold stocks, they continued to sell off. And we talked about it at the end of the year last year about how this was the worst tax loss selling I've ever seen in this sector in my 20 years of being here. So, you know, it gives me an incredible amount of enthusiasm coming into this year, because last year I was coming into the year a little nervous, since, you know, the gold price had gone up so much the two previous years. It became wildly overbought. Everybody and his brother was talking about gold. And now you're coming into this year the exact opposite. Everybody's worried about gold, and most people are thinking it's going to go down even more. The Federal Reserve is going to raise rates, and the gold price is going to go down further. Well, I got news for you that during the last tightening cycle between 2015 and 2019, the Fed raised 9 times and gold prices rallied 35%. And between 2004 and 2005, the Fed raised 17 times and the gold price rallied 70%. So I'm very excited for this year. You know, these values in these juniors are incredibly attractive. And I'm just really looking forward to see what happens here on this consolidation pattern that we've been in months. And you wouldn't think the gold price ended the year well above 1800 when looking at the gold stocks. I mean, if you'd have told me that the gold price was going to end the year well above 1800, and yet the GDXJ was going to end at 42, and the last time it traded consistently around there, the gold price was around 1500, I would have laughed and said there's no way. But here we are, and that's what happened.
Well, Dave, at this time of year, after tax loss selling, and like you mentioned, with the miners being so undervalued relative to where the metals prices are, a lot of people are expecting a bump at the beginning of the year here. There's usually a strong move in January and February seasonally, just coming out of that selling pressure at the end of the year. But there's still a lot of people that are in agreement with you that the rate hiking cycles are a tailwind for the precious metals. Out of the last 4 to 6, they've all really helped push the precious metals higher, the rate hiking cycles. But there's that concern that after we get past this little bump here at the beginning of the year, that there may be one more washout because of the market perception that precious metals sell off before the rate hike cycles. Are you at all concerned that we could break down? Some people are even saying we may break down below 1675, even into the 1500s. Is that a concern of yours as we move into, let's say, the spring?
Well, it's obviously been a concern of resource, gold and silver stock resource investors, because the gold stock sold down to the levels that you just mentioned of 1500, 1550. So that obviously has been a concern, but I think a lot of it's priced in. We're going to find out, I think we're going to find out pretty soon. You know, we've got a couple of catalysts here coming up this week. On Wednesday, we got the Fed minutes. And then on Friday, we got the first non-farm payrolls report. So if it's a knock it out of the park non-farm payrolls report, you know, and it comes in much better than expected, you could see the gold price get hit and lose strong support there. It would have to get below 1753 to make a lower low, close below there. I don't see that taking place, but you know, there's a lot of things I didn't see taking place last year that took place. But as far as the shares are concerned, I think, you know, most of the people that of size that wanted to sell sold last year for tax loss. And if you take a look at the valuations on, you know, on the quality juniors here, I mean, they're in accumulation mode, you know. And if the gold price does, you know, lose 1675 and it does get down to, you know, that 50% retracement level at 1570, that would be an incredible buying opportunity. And I think it would be a spike low. I think there's a lot of willing buyers down there if that took place.
Dave, I want to get your thoughts on the, let's call it IPO market for the resource, especially precious metals sector, because 2020 was a heck of a year for new companies coming to the market and the stock price doing well. But the later part of 2020 and throughout 2021, it seemed like a lot of the new entrants into the sector really got beat up. And that hurts a lot of investors looking to make some quick money and, quite frankly, fund some of these companies moving forward. What's your assessment and strategy when you are presented with a new story now that we're in 2022?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, you really have to take a fine-tooth comb and go through management. You see if they're getting cheap paper. You really have to go through these things and make sure that if it's a an early stage drill play, or if it's a company that is raising a bunch of money to get a brownfields project off the ground, or if it's a new company that is a growth oriented producer, or you know, you have to just take a look at each separate situation and judge it by the type of company it is, and definitely look at management. Management is key. You know, are these guys going to have access to capital in the future? That's a huge one. You know, they're going to raise all this money, because you know, a lot of these IPOs, sector's hot. You know, it's not a good idea to start an IPO when the sector is kind of cold like it is right now. So and like you said, you know, a lot of these stocks sold off after they IPO'd, you know, when the sector was consolidating. But if they wait for the up leg to start, then, you know, once they IPO, the stock is going to move higher after the IPO is launched.
Well, Dave, we've talked about some of the new entrants and how that's one angle to play it. Let's also talk about the other side of the spectrum, and that's the entrants that have drilled out a resource, they've developed something, they've got an economic study, maybe they're a small producer trying to grow, and they're in the crosshairs of being a potential takeover target. We have seen at least a half dozen, maybe more, M&A deals just at the end of 2021. Do you think that there will be a continued focus on looking at who's going to be next and trying to cherry pick the next takeover target as we roll into 2022?
I do. And, you know, I really don't think we're going to see, you know, any more mega mergers. Newmont just raised some money recently. What they did was they raised $1 billion on a sustainably linked bond. And so, you know, when you have the number one gold miner raising $1 billion, I mean, they're probably looking to buy another company. And if you take a look at their stock, you know, you're starting to see some sector rotation go into this stock as Newmont is bifurcating, starting to move higher. So I really think you're going to see more M&A, more acquisitions from mid-tiers, you know, taking over companies that are maybe kicked out from merger deals of a non-core asset. You just saw that recently with Bear Creek Mining, which is a stock I own and cover, that purchased Equinox's Mercedes mine, and they got that mine in when they took over Premier, and that was a non-core asset. Plus, you're also going to see more companies combining, I think, because there's, you know, we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum, that there's just too many companies out there, and the sector needs to consolidate, and a lot of these companies need to get together that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that point, Dave, and it actually ties into the next question I had for you, and that deals with a lot of these exploration, or you can call them development companies, whatever you want to call them. They're a bit more de-risked that hold resources and what look like profitable resources or economic resources. The problem is, it seems like ounces in the ground broadly sector wide are generally undervalued right now. You have 1 million, 2 million ounce resources with exploration potential that just are not getting the kind of valuations that we have seen during more full-on bull markets, I guess. Are we due for a revaluation here, or is the market telling us that we have too many 1-2 million ounce resources? And to your point, some of these companies need to come together and make a bigger company that attracts more capital.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're going to need the generalist investor to come into this sector. And that's not going to happen, I don't think, until the gold price has a monthly close above 1900. I mean, that's when you're going to start to get some generalist interest. But yes, to your question, those are the companies I'm focusing on right now. You know, I've trimmed my portfolio down to where I only have 3 high-risk drill plays now, and only one does not have a defined resource. So my 2 other higher risk drill plays have defined a resource, because there's really no reason to take a chance here on high risk drill plays when there's so much value in these companies that are de-risking high margin projects in safe jurisdictions, and the resources are already there. They're just de-risking them. But you do have to do your due diligence on these things. Make sure that you get into the right ones to hold for the long term here. But yeah, I mean, that's just the way I see it right now. I mean, sure, there's a lot of great value in these high risk drill plays, but I don't see the reasons for taking the risk right now when there's so much value elsewhere in companies that have already proved up these ounces.
Well, just one more question, Dave, as far as the generalist investors and getting them back in the sector. You know, most of them, when the generalists do come in, if the gold price and the silver price move higher and they think they want to take a stab at the miners, most of them do it in a passive way through ETF investing. They're either buying the GDX, the GDXJ, right, the SILJ. And so they're really buying a basket of stocks, and maybe those stocks get a bid, but there doesn't seem to be as many individual stock pickers going after the mining sector. Has there been a fundamental change in how people invest in the mining stocks?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I could just base it on how I do it. And I just listen to the language of the market. And basically I go where I think the money is going to be going. Like I said about the higher risk drill plays, you know, that's one thing. And another thing is optionality plays that are lower margin. You know, there'll be a time for those stocks in the future, but I don't think a stock like that is going to move until there's a $2,000 floor in the gold price. You know, you got these projects out there that only need $1,400 gold to be economic, and they're languishing. But if you got a project, you know, you got these juniors that have defined a resource, you know, a huge resource, but the project needs $1,800 gold, those are still going to languish here now for a long period of time. So, you know, you just have to follow the language of the market and see where it's going. And right now, I just see so much value in these higher margin projects that I'm not going to mess around in optionality plays that are lower margin, that needs higher gold prices, or a company that is in the process of trying to define a resource. Sure, if they've hit some high grades, you know, and they've stepped out 10 meters or something, and they're still hitting high grades, you know, unless they've stepped out 50 meters or 100 meters and they've become consistent, their stock's not going to go anywhere.
All right, Dave, we're going to wrap it up here. Good comments, as always, focused in the precious metals sector. Hopefully this year is a better year than last year, especially for the stocks. But look, you are right. We do need some more money coming in. We need some more generalist money coming in. And I think we just need a couple more winners, like Great Bear. But we all know how hard those are to come by. Dave, as always, man, great chatting with you. We'll chat again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.